So last time we were on Daf Chaf Tes Amud Beis, and we were at the two dots, the last narrow line in the Gemara, in which Rabbi Yoshua, the Mishnah, had quoted Rabbi Yoshua, who said that Hamahalich b'makom sakana mispalel tri l'ketzara, and the Mishnah provided a text. And if you look back at the Mishnah for just 1 second on Daf Chaf Tes Amud Beis, Rabbi Yoshua's tefillah actually is Hoshea, it's on the third wide line on Chaf Ches Amud Beis, of the widest lines. Hosha Hashem Esamcha Esheris Israel. So God save your nation, the remnants of Israel. Bechol Parashas Ibur Yitzarchem Lefanecha. In every Parashas Ibur, whatever that means, their needs should be before you. Baruch Atah Hashem Shomea Tefillah. So the Gemara asked the question, the last narrow line of Chaf Ches Amud Beis, my parasha sa'ibur. What does that mean? Bechol parasha sa'ibur. Parsha, or parasha, usually means, let's say, a situation of, a time of ibur. What is ibur? So the Gemara is going to quote a couple of interpretations, both similar in substance, but different in etymological analysis of the word. My parasha sa'ibur, Amar Chista, Amar Marukva, Mar Chista says in the name of Marukva, Afilu b'shosh atam ismale aleim evra, ki isha ubara, you called tzarchem lefanecha. So here it seems to be a double. Parasha sa'ibur is when God is full of anger, like a pregnant woman is full. So it means really, really full of anger. So even when you're angry at them, their needs should still be before you. And Ikadamri, an alternative version, which again amounts to mostly the same thing, but very different etymology. Amar Chista Amarukva, Afila B'Shah Shehem Ovrim Al Devrei Torah, Yiyu Kol Tzarchem Lefanecha. Even when they are over, that's what Ibur is, they violate your law, nonetheless their needs should be before you. Rashi here suggests that between the difference between these two approaches or versions is also what the word parashas means. According to the Rashi doesn't explain it in the first version, but I presume he means parashas ha'ibur is just the word the Gemara uses, shah, at the time of, during the situation of. Whereas in the second one, Rashi, and I don't think you have to say this, but Rashi says parashas ha'ibur is where does he say it? Parshin la'aveira. He does explain the first one, but he doesn't really explain what it means. But if you look in Dibra Maschel, the second one, Afilu b'shah shehem ovrim, u'lashon parashas ibur shehem parshin la'aveira. In other words, you were on one path, let's say the right path, and then you went off the path. You were porish. You separated to do aveira. So Rashi says that's another difference between the first and the second.
The same word twice. Using this parashat and ibur as the same word, basically, right? That they're leaving.
Well, no, but we would use an expression, piresh la'avera. He separated from his path to avera. So that's parashat ibur. That's the second interpretation. In the first interpretation, he kind of says something, but he doesn't explain what the word means. A couple of Dibar Maschels earlier, if you look at afilu b'shashat ha'mismalanem evra kisha ubara, so he says, v'hachi mashma, b'chol inyane pirishas ha'ibur, Kigon, and that next thing is corrected in my thing. Well, Evra v'ubara. That's what he changes it on the side to. It's not really clear what exactly it means. So that was Rabbi Yoshua's Trila. Bottom line places the emphasis on the fact that even at a time that perhaps we are not deserving, nonetheless listen to our needs. So that's the first version of what we would call a tefillah kitzara. And the Gemara will later distinguish between what we call a tefillah kitzara here and havinenu. Havinenu is a short davening, tefillah kitzara is a short prayer. And the Gemara will tell us what the practical differences are between them. So for now, the Gemara says, the third wide line, Tana Rabbanan, halahalech b'makom gedudei chayev alistim. If a person is traveling in a place where there are wild animals, Gedude might be bands of wild animals and robbers. Mispalo tefillah ketzara. Ve'ezoi tefillah ketzara. What is the tefillah ketzara? Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Asei ritzoncha b'shamayim ima'al, V'sein nachas ruach li'reyecha mitachas. So literally it means you should do in accordance with your will in the heavens above and give nachas ruach, how would we describe, how do you translate nachas ruach? Not pleasure. What's that? Peace of mind is probably pretty close. Pretty close, I think. It's probably good, a relatively good English translation. Calmness, maybe. To those who fear you, below. Which is kind of interesting. Do what is good in your eyes. That expression, is actually taken from Sefer Shoftim, when the Jewish people have sinned repeatedly. And finally they come to God and they plead, and they just say, we've sinned, and do whatever you think. But then, of course, but save us today. So it's not clear what it means, when you turn around and say, yeah, but save us. But this seems to be the same thing here. There's this, what I would say, giving up. You know, God, do what you're going to do. That's the first version. The next part is cut out, Rabbi Yoshua. That's apparently not in Tosefta, and it doesn't make sense in light of the Mishnah, and it's virtually identical to the following one. Skip down one line, which is Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadok Omer, Shema Tzakas Amcha Yisrael, listen to the cry of your nation Israel, Vaseh Mehira Bakashasam, and do their request, you fulfill their request quickly, Baruch Atah Hashem Shomea Tvila. So both of these prayers, I would say, are fundamentally requests for God to listen to what we ask him for. But then we have Acherim Omrim, something very different. Sarche Amcha Yisrael Merubim, V'datam Kitzara. Our needs are great, but our datam here might be the ability to express them is limited. Yehi ratzon fanecha Hashem Elokeinu shetiten l'cholecha ve'echad kidei parnasaso u'lechol gevia u'gevia de machzora. May it be your will, God, that you give to each person sufficient sustenance and for every, literally, body, for every person, that which he needs or that which he is lacking. Kiyata shomea tila samcha yisrael barachamim should be inserted. Baruch ato Hashem. Where do I see that? Did I take that from the, that's the wrong one. No, Vato Beinech Hase. That's the one here. Vato Beinech Hase, it's in the little bays with Hagos Hagra.
Yeah.
Baruch Ato Hashem, Shomea Tfila. Now, when you think about the difference between Acherim's prayer and the prayers that precede it, so there is an expression which is, be careful for what you wish for, because you might just get it. And it seems the difference between the first two and this one really is along those lines, that sometimes we want things, but they may not be the things that we really shouldn't want them. Yes, that's another way of putting it. Male mishazibenu letova. Right, the things we want, some of the things we ask for may not be good for us. So don't give us those things. Give us the things that we're asking for, and maybe not asking, but the things that we actually need. So Acherim's perspective is that we have many needs, we don't know how to express them properly. Why don't you give us actually what we need, what each of one is lacking, and that's sufficient. Which to me seems like a wiser prayer, which may be why Amar Rav Huna halacha kacherim. So if you look in Shulchan Aruch, when the Shulchan Aruch quotes and the Rif quotes this Gemara, he simply quotes the prayer of Acherim. That's the appropriate one. Sarachei Amcha Yisrael Merubam V'Datam Kitzara.
Also, Hatov Beinecha is a similar concept to this, right?
Right,
but
right.
But that could be bad right. For us.
Well, yes.
No.
Well, sure,
it could be the stuff that God
we deserve, even though, well, that may not be so good for us, but we deserve it. So in that sense, it doesn't, Vato Beinecha Asay is a little ambiguous. It could be a little ambiguous. Vato Beinecha Asay could be that which you see is good. If you look at the verse in Shoftim where they say, Vato Beinecha Asay Achatzilenu, you know, Hayom Hazeh, but save us. So, you know, what if God thought the right thing to do was not to save them because they deserved it? So that's not really what they were asking for. Vato Beinecha Asay does kind of exist in this gray zone. But it's clearly something that I can't identify what it is, but God, you know.
Any practical application? I think it is done today. I
would say
to your soldier.
I would say correct. Right. I would say the following. Firstly, most of the time, because we are so used to praying out of a sitter and things that we don't know and don't recite. So most of the time that a tefillah kitzara would be appropriate, you don't have the time to take out your sitter either. So most people kind of don't know. But I think that there are times it's appropriate. I think, firstly, I think there are, in a sense, two ways of reading the Mishnah. And the Gemara clearly reads it one way, but I think it could be read the other way as well. One way of reading the Mishnah, which is the way the Gemara reads the Mishnah, is if you need to daven your formal tefillah, but you find yourself in a situation of sakana where you can't stop to daven, so this is what you do instead. The other way of reading it is this could be a prayer that would be meaningful, even in situations where you already daven shachris, you know, and mincha is not till later, but you're not in a good spot. And while sometimes maybe you would think, well, I should daven, except for I can't really daven, so this is a good tefillah to say. When you look at the Mishnah's formulation, it starts out by talking about what brachos that you say on a regular day. And then Rabbi Yeshua says, "Aholech v'makom sachana mismalo tefillah kitzara." Now, does that mean you had to daven, but you can't do yudches and you can't do havineinu? So instead, do tzarcham, do the tefillah kitzara, which is how the Gemara ultimately is going to take it. But it doesn't have to be limited to that.
But you can have
Because you can have spontaneous prayer. Because you need it.
Exactly.
Somebody's
shooting at you.
So that's why I say that the second interpretation I'm suggesting, it doesn't have to contradict the first interpretation. The difference will be, as the Gemara is going to talk about, you know, if I daven already, then I just say tzarachaim chumru, but it's not, you know, big deal. If I didn't daven, the question is what happens later. That's what the Gemara will talk about. Right? So in other words, tzarachaim chumrubim on its own, as opposed to in lieu of a regular tefillah, might be different.
Right, but it seems like, in other words, because it's been formalized, right, that it seems like it's a lieu, right?
So I think...
Right? Otherwise, you just pray, right?
Correct.
In any language, whatever, you know.
True. See, it actually...
Like this goes back to real prayer, right? As opposed to...
Spontaneous,
keva.
Right.
Right, Hakunin versus keva, right? If you can't add something, you know...
So one of the interesting things about this, and I haven't seen anybody comment on this, which is that the next Gemara is going to talk about Tefillah Saderach. A few lines from now, we're about to start, is Tefillah Saderach. The fascinating thing is that the Rambam never actually really quotes Tefillah Saderach Hazalcha. He does quote the text of the Gemara. We'll take a look at the Rambam in a second, when we get there. But it sounds like the Rambam holds that even Tefillah Saderach is not, I'll call a mandatory tefillah, but something you find yourself in a situation, so you say Tefillah Saderach. Beis Yosef wonders why, after quoting all the material on Tefillah Saderach, all the shittos about certain things in our Gemara, he says, I don't know why the Rambam never brought this. So there is something, the Rambam does have an echo of the Gemara about to read, but he doesn't have it in a formal miskeres, right? Tefillah Saderach, the way it's presented, is that if you know you're going to be traveling and journey, you may include it in your Shemone Esrei instead of. But if you don't or you didn't, then you say it later when some point at the beginning of your journey. But the Rambam doesn't present it that way. So give me a second and we'll get there.
Do you remember Rabbi Scheinberg? Was he an MPA when he was still there, or he passed away?
He passed away. Right.
He used to say there were no atheists.
Right. So the Gemara now says the following. Amar le Eliyahu le Rabbi Huda Achua the Rav Sala Chasida. Eliyahu said to Rabbi Huda, the brother of Rav Sala, the pious one. It's not. This is always the question I have when you say Reuven ben Shimon a Kohen. Who's the Kohen? Yeah. Is it Shimon or is it Reuven? Now, in ordinary circumstances, it's both. But here's who's the Chasida here. Being the child of a chassid or the father of a chassid doesn't make you necessarily a chassid, not in the Gemara sense, maybe in contemporary terms, where it's in ethnicity, but not in the time of the Gemara. I assume it is Rabbi Yehuda who's the chassid, because Eliyahu does not appear to regular people. So Eliyahu was having a conversation with Rabbi Yehuda, the chassid, and he said the following, Lo tirtach v'lo techte, lo terave v'lo techte. He told them three things. Everything comes in threes. The first one is don't get angry and you won't sin. Techte is the sin. Tiratach, resicha can be either boiling or in Aramaic related to it means getting angry. So don't get angry and you won't sin because the easiest way to do something wrong is to lose control, self-control, by getting angry. The second is lo terave velo techte. Lo terave, the way Rashi reads, certainly is the pshat, meaning is don't get drunk and you won't sin. So that's another thing which is common, which is Yatsayayin Nichnasot. Or is
but
I'm sorry, Nichnasayin Yatsasot. Okay. Yes. You know, recently there was without what?
It means to be
sated, to be full. There is one of the other Rishonim, this Rabbi Yonah says, I forget who said, it doesn't mean, it doesn't mean it means to be drunk, it means to be savea, to be, you know, overstated. But I think Rashi's meaning is more likely to, you know, to be the meaning here. You also have, do you have it in yesterday's Targum? Yayin v'shechar. No, he translates chamar chadat chamar atik. Vayeshmin hayayin vayishkar ushasa minyena urevi by Noach. That's the Targum there. So it means to be sated, but it has a very specific meaning typically, which means to get drunk. I don't remember. The word might be used there as well. So that's number two. Elio told him, and finally three. When you go out to a journey, consult with your maker and then go. So what does it mean? Ma'hi malech bekoneich vatzei. Amar Rabbi Yaakov, Amar Rav Chista, zo trilas haderech. This is the source. Now, Amar Rabbi Yaakov, Amar Rav Chista, kol hayotze laderech, tzorach laspal al trilas haderech. So this goes beyond Eliyahu's advice. Here it's presented more as a halachic obligation. You have to be mispal al trilas haderech. Mai trilas haderech? Yiratzol mufanecha Hashem Elokai, shetolicheni l'shalom, you should bring me along, cause me to go to peace. Visat idenu l'shalom, you should cause me to stride towards peace. There is a alternative version of this in the Torah, which has visat idenu l'shalom, samach ayin dal, not tzadeh ayin dal. Samach ayin dal means to assist or support, but everybody else has the girsa with a tzadi. Visis mecheni l'shalom, you should support me for peace. Visat zilein, there is an addition here, which is visach zireni levesi l'shalom, and you should bring me back to my house in peace. There are those, if you look in the Siddur, it says the following, it puts in parentheses, it says, if you're going to be returning home that day, then you can just add v'sach sereni v'besi l'shalom.
Does that fulfill your obligation to fulfill us there on the way home?
That's what it seems to be, yeah. I would think so. But in the way it's, you know, in the Gemara itself, there's no distinction. It's either there or it's not there in the text. But anyway, v'sach sereni mikaf kol oyev v'oyev baderech. You should save me from any enemy or ambush on the way. V'sishlach bracha b'masei yodai. The Gra erases that. V'sitneini l'chein l'chesel rachamim be'einecha uve'einei chol ro'ai. Ki ata shomea tefila samcha yisra brachamim hiyazin. Baruch ata Hashem shomea tefila. Which looks mostly pretty much our tefila saderech. Somebody added some psukim afterwards. You don't have to say those psukim. Comment. Yes, I'm sorry.
Based on any source in terms of like anywhere in Tanakh, this phraseology, which often prayer is based.
I don't see anything here. Amar Abaye.
We may mention this before, but the last tefila, the fact that it's written in plural as opposed to this, which is singular, it really tells you. I think the last one is a substitute for Shmoneh Esrei.
One second. Amar Abaye, la'olam lishtof inish nafshe bahadei tzibura. You should combine yourself with the tzibur. Hei cheneima, yiratzom panach Hashem elokeinu shetolichenu l'shalom v'chulei. So the question, your point is a reasonable observation. The question is whether it actually reflects a difference or it reflects already Abaye's approach. So Abaye says that when a person is praying, b'shasakana, he should include everybody in it, because the tefillah of the tzibur, or in the tefillah on behalf of the tzibur, is something which is more merutzah, it's received better. We do have, it's interesting, most of our tefillahs are in the plural, but we do have, and not only that, but one of the things that we do on Yom Narayim in the Slichos is we pluralize what are singular. So we say Al Tashlichenu Leisikna Kechlos Kolchenu Al Tazveni. Al Tazveinu, but if you look in Tilim, it will be Al Tashlicheni Leisikna Kechlos Kolchi Al Tazveni, etc. Most of those are pluralized by in the liturgy, and that's what Abai suggests here. We do have a couple of things that retain the singular for reasons that I'm not sure. Elokai Nitzar L'Shoni Meiras V'Saimi Dabir Mira. So most of that is reflective of the singular. Also the Yehi Ratzon that we say after Hamavir Shena Meinas Tumafapai, afterwards, after Gomel Chasad Nitalno Yisrael. That's also in the singular, but that is atypical. We tend to, in liturgy, we tend to pluralize the references to be include ourselves along with the tzibur, or maybe I would say include the tzibur with us. Now, I mentioned before the Rambam, it's a very unusual note. If you look in the Ein Mishpat Ner Mitzvah, on the right side of the page, that top section, right side, Chavtesim Adbeis, letter in mind, letter nun tes, chesen tes. It says, Maimoni perik yud mehilchos brachos. That's what he put in. And then the later, somebody, I don't know who put the later stuff in, ayin sham velo timsa. You won't find it there. Vabes Yosef simen kufyud tama al harambam shehishmit. He wondered why the Rambam omitted it. Now, I'm going to read to you what actually is there. It's not quite that it's not there at all. Where is this Hilchos Tefillah? Where is Hilchos Tefillah here? Hold on. You're not going to have this. This is Brachos or Tefillah? Brachos. Okay. Brachos Perek Yud. There's no letter, but there is something there. Some of the Oz Vahadar editions, you probably, I don't think you have this in yours, actually print in the back all of those references. And it's not very long. For each halacha, they present it. And where does the Rambam talk about this? I think it's right here. Right, so the Rambam says the following. It's halacha chafhei. I'll read to you slowly. Hanichnas lekrach. Someone who is entering a city. Omer yehi ratzon lefanecha Hashem Elokai. Shetachniseni lekrach ze l'shalom. May you bring me into the city in peace. V'yim nichnas b'shalom. If you enter it in peace, Omer, you say, Moda ani lefanecha Hashem Elokai, shechnastani l'shalom. I give thanks to you that you brought me in peace. Uch shivake shalatzeis, Omer yiratzom lefanecha Hashem Elokai, shetotzienu mikrach ze l'shalom. When you're ready to go, you ask God to bring you out in peace. V'yim yatzav shalom Omer, Moda ani lefanecha Hashem Elokai, Shehotzeisani mikrach zel shalom. Uchashem shehotzeisani l'shalom kach tolichenu shalom mesatzi denu shalom v'sesbechenu l'shalom mesatzi menu mikach oyev oyev baderach. Now, the truth is, the Rambam is, in a sense, quoting Tfilas HaDerach. I don't know why the Beis Yosef says it's not. He doesn't quote the full thing. He doesn't quote the bracha at the end. And it almost seems to be an afterthought to the fact that you exited in peace. In other words, as opposed to the tefillah before the journey, it's sort of thank you for taking me this far, take me the rest of the way. So it's not a total omission on the part of the Rambam, but it is kind of odd that the Rambam places it there. I wouldn't call it spontaneous, but that's all the Rambam has. Okay, so The question that one has to ask generally about this, let me read the next section of the Gemara, but when is Tfilas HaDerech necessary? I drove in this morning from Teaneck. Should I have said Tfilas HaDerech when I drove in? I know that there are people who used to, and when I was growing up, I think there's a group of people who would, you know, drive into the city in a carpool, and somebody would say Tfilas HaDerech. And the question is, or, for example, God willing on Friday, so I'm driving to Kent, it's a 6-hour drive, should I say Tfilas HaDerech?
Or flights that are less accident prone than cars.
Or a flight. Yes. Is it appropriate, necessary to say Tfilas HaDerech? So let's take a look at the continuation of the Gemara Third line on Lamed Amud Aleph. Emas mitzale. When should you say the tefillah? Amar Rav Yaakov, Amar Rav Yaakov, Amar Chista, Misha'a Shemahalech Baderach. It seems that this is all Rabbi Yaakov Bar Chista, everything, all these statements have been. So, from the time that you start traveling, Ad Kaba, it sounds like up until what point, right, so for now, we'll read, Rashi says, Ad Kaba Zamana Lispala, means how far in can you daven it? Ad Parsa. A farsa, which is a 4 mil, which is 8,000 amos, which is approximately 2.5 to 3 miles. So what exactly does ad parsa mean? So if you look in Rashi, Rashi writes, avolola achar shahalach parsa. Once you've already traveled the parsa, well then it's too late. Ubahag mefarish, no, ad kama yivakish leilich sheitzaruch lispala. How far does the journey have to be? Ad parsa. It has to be at least that far. Avafilu ein lo leilich ela ad parsa. Even if it's just a parsa, but at least a parsa, then you have to say it. Aval derech pachos mi parsa ein tzarech lespalo tefila zo. Now, according to this particular version, it's not that you can't recite it after you travel the parsa. It's just that the journey has to be at least a parsa. And that is how the Shulchan Aruch does paskin. What comes along with it is, in fact, another din, which is that if you forgot to say Tefillas HaDerech, and you're in the middle of your travels, if you have less than a parsa to go until your destination, then you no longer say it. Right? Then you no longer say it. Okay. So the question that really has to be asked, and there's one more sort of interpretation, which is sort of somewhere in between, which is, it's Rashi's interpretation. What's that?
Shouldn't it be more dependent on, like, where you're traveling than how far?
So I think...
You may be in a short distance to go, but if it's really
in the area. So I think that is intuitive. So I think in one source that we saw, I read to you, does suggest very strongly that it is in many ways tied to danger, and that is the Rambam.
Right?
But the Rambam presents it as a situation where you give thanks to God, but you take you out of the city, right? And now, just as you saved me there, save me here. I want to just observe to you, in Shulchan Aruch, so first the Shulchan Aruch presents, well, I don't have all of it here, I have most of the Simon here. First the Shulchan Aruch, the Simon Kuf Yud, presents the laws of Havinenu. Then after talking about Havinenu, he says, HaHolech Siv Gimel, HaHolech B'makom Gedu Dechai V'listim, Mispala Tzarche Amcha Merubin. And he gives you some of the details. And then next, if he says Hayotze l'derech yispalo, and he quotes the Tefillas HaDerech. He doesn't say it here. So he says the way he understands things is that lachatchila. But let me give you the third interpretation. Was Rabbeinu Yonah? Rabbeinu Yonah said no. Rashi's interpretation is correct that you're supposed to say it in the first parsha. But if you didn't, you can still say it as long as you're on the journey. Now, Rabbeinu Yonah's point is the following. When do you make a bracha on your tefillin? And the Gemara does say that. When do you make a bracha on the tefillin? You put on your tefillin shoyad. When do you make the bracha?
Once you have it on. When you make the
knot. When you put it on your arms, but you don't haven't tied it yet.
Right.
Before you pull the knot, then you make the bracha. What happens if you didn't? What happens if you were daydreaming? You know, you were thinking about
you
the...
You remember winding it, and then you remember, oh, I forgot to make
yes.
the bracha.
So what do you do? You make the bracha then? You make the bracha then.
You can unwind it.
Yeah, you don't have to. Let's say you put on your shel rosh, you put on the shel yad, you forgot to make the bracha. The halacha is that you would make a bracha and be a mashish, move the tefillin just a little bit, move the tefillin shel rosh. Why? Because normally the rule is you have to make a bracha before the mitzvah, with rare exceptions. The bracha has to be made over lasiyasa. Once you did the mitzvah already, it's too late to make the bracha. So if you picked up, I know this is more complicated than I'm presenting it, but if you picked up the Luvin Estrog already, and you didn't make the bracha, and you were Yotze with the Nanuin, So then we normally say you can't make the bracha anymore because you already yotzei the mitzvah. Or if you blew tkiyah shofar already, you blew 100 kolos, forgot to make the bracha, you can't make the bracha anymore because you filled the mitzvah. It's a bracha
levatala. If you add more kolos to...
I don't know, like, that's the question. I think once you were yotzei already, it's hard to imagine that, even though you're doing it for chumrah to get the kolos, I don't think you make the bracha. Within the
first
10 kolos, probably. In the first 10 kolos, you could still make the bracha because...
Eating, if you forget and you keep eating.
As long as you're going to eat more food, you can still make the bracha. Once you finish eating, you cannot make the shahakol afterwards.
You think if you're doing more kolos, just for one?
So I don't know, you can make a bracha after the first 10. What's that? No, do more kamiyot, then you can make the bracha then. That's easy. But if you were yotzei, that means you weren't yotzei the mitzvah, or somebody wasn't yotzei the mitzvah. Once you're yotzei the mitzvah, you can't make the bracha. But tefillin, and the same thing is true with the tzitzis, with talis katan, with talis gadol, even if you didn't make the bracha when you put them on, the kium ha-mitzvah, the fulfillment of the mitzvah is continuous, it's ongoing, therefore you should have made the bracha earlier, but b'di'eved, you can still make the bracha afterwards.
B'di'eved, or you're still you're obligated?
You're obligated. You're supposed to, and you can't. Okay, so I don't remember where I saw this, but it seems intuitive to me, and it's not. I'm not making this up. It was, 1 second, maybe Rabbeinu Yonah says it. No, somebody talks about the fact that there's an element of sakana. It's related to the element of sakana. Rabbeinu Yonah's interpretation, by the way, understands the Gemara is ad kama is what is considered achizas aderach or mahalech baderach. What is considered? You know, you're supposed to do it mishasha mahalech baderach. What is the shasha mahalech baderach? That's a parsa. If you didn't do it, then you can still do it afterwards. But it seems intuitive to me. Even in the Rama's presentation, you have to leave the city. Only after you leave the city, now you make this request. Because once upon a time, when you left the city, it was dangerous.
It has to be a journey.
I would say that, yes. So if you asked me, and it was true this morning, and I would repeat it, you know, in 3 weeks from now, I don't make Tfilas HaDerech when I drive into the city. I don't think I would make Tfilas HaDerech driving to camp, but there at least you can say it's a long trip. You go through isolated areas. I mean, isolated areas means what? There are deer on the side of the road. So driving can be dangerous under any conditions in theory, but statistically speaking, it's not very dangerous. If you ask me, when I do make Tfilas HaDerech when I fly, but I perhaps I'm wrong, but I see it in the same light as I see Berachas HaGomel. Some people...
Well, do you make it when you fly to Israel across the ocean?
HaGomel? Yeah. No, I don't.
Yeah.
Because HaGomel... So because I do say Tfilas HaDerech, yes.
Okay, so I
think that Hagomel, so the question is whether I'm right or wrong in that. Tfilas HaDerech doesn't explicitly tie to, I think it's clear that maybe Josh's definition is the best, but it's a journey. But Tfilas HaDerech is not as explicitly tied to Sakana. Hagomel is very clearly tied to Sakana, but I think that there's a psychological element. If someone came to me and said they were in a car accident, should they make HaGomel? Well, the answer is, it depends how you felt. In other words, if you were in the car and somebody behind you stopped suddenly and they gave you a tiny fender bender, you know, so I don't know if you need to make HaGomel. If you felt a sense of danger and relief, yeah, then you should make first HaGomel. If it was kind of routine to you... What's that?
I don't think it's absolute.
The examples that they're given, and God willing, one day we'll talk about this week at the end of the Masechta, Arba Srichim L'Hodas, I take it as a given that even when you're crossing the ocean, there's nothing dangerous in the journey, right? The statistical danger is close to zero. I do know this. I've heard that the Rav, when he in the early days when he used to fly to Boston back and forth, he would make HaGomel, and then he stopped making it because I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question, but that becomes routine. It becomes routine. It's like, what's the big deal? So to me, it's clear Berachas HaGomel falls in that category. I assume Tfilas HaDerech, I don't know about Tfilas HaDerech, and if Josh is correct, then when I come in here Sunday morning, there's no reason to say it, but probably when I go to camp, we should say it. My wife has started saying it in recent years when we would go to camp. She
The place where I learned Tfilas HaDerech was in camp.
In camp?
In other words, the way they, you're just going on a trip.
Yeah, trip, right.
Or
okay.
School, I guess, where we might have done, but I really
right. So it's hard to, I think in the case of the Gemara, and especially the Rambam presents, but I don't think it's just the Rambam, and others, once you leave, it's when you leave the city, so I think that's, clearly there was a real element of danger. A real danger when people were, when there's nobody else around in deserted areas, that's what it was. So the question is whether it even really makes sense to, even on a long journey today. Now, I will admit, there's still a piece of me that even though I may fly routinely, that has a little bit of nerves, you know, when that plane is taking off. Understanding, of course, that the most dangerous moment in any plane journey is take off and maybe landing, maybe more so the takeoff. So even though I know it's totally irrational, and it's not like I need to take something, you know, to calm myself, but I do have a sense of that slight danger then, but not enough that I guess after the fact I feel like, oh, I'm so relieved that right. I'm not saying I don't know if I'm right or wrong as I say Tfilas HaDerech, but I don't make Berachas HaGomo for flying across the ocean. So, right. Or if you know, through that you fly in the United States to the West Coast, you've crossed the desert as well. I wouldn't make Berachas HaGomo there either. So.
Yeah, I don't think most. I'm assuming right. Most people who make Berachas
HaGomo. Right, we're going to Israel, don't. But it does it. They're the same thing. They're the same thing. Right? You've gone across, you know, whatever deserts, yeah. You know, in Western California and Eastern California and, you know, Nevada and whatever else. So in Utah. So it's hard to explain what the distinction between that and going to Israel. Again, it's a longer flight to Israel, but nonetheless. Okay. So, the Gemara now says, how do you say Tfilas HaDerech? Meaning, what position do you say it in? So Rav Yaakov Amar, Rechista Amar Me'umad. I'm on the sixth line on Lamed Aleph. Rechista Amar Me'umad and Rechishas Amar Afila Mahalech. Rechista says you're supposed to stop and say it, which is kind of funny. But the reason why you stop and say it is because it takes about, you know, 10 seconds to say it. If you were going to be davening, as we'll see, when you daven other tfilos, so if you're davening, let's say you're riding on the donkey, so there may be more ground, which is going to be, you know, the next part of the Mishnah that we saw, but the Gemara is going to talk about in a few lines. So there, the problem of is that to stop really is a hindrance. Whereas if you're only doing a tefillah ketzara, it doesn't take very long. So Rav Chista says you stand. Rav Shesha says you can say it mahalach. Rav Chista and Rav Shesha have a kazli borchan. They were traveling on a journey together. Come Rav Chista, the come it's Ali. So I want to make one comment. I want to correct something. I thought maybe not everybody agrees with Tosas. Tosas says this is actually on tefillah sederach, not on tefillah ketzara. Except that, hold on, in Shulchan Aruch, you know, I may have merged them in my head. Once, I just wanted to see what it said in the Shulchan Aruch there. Oh, no, I'm not wrong about this. The Shulchan Aruch quotes this machlokes and this din in the context of Tfilah Ketzara. Tosas says it's talking about Tfilah Sederach. Okay, so
Me'umad only means standing?
It means stopping. It doesn't necessarily, like if you were Rochev al Chamor, we might say, and we say, Rebbe's going to say you don't have to get off the Chamor, even if someone can hold the donkey for you, because you're going to be distracted. So, but it still might be that you stop the donkey, and as you're standing in place with the donkey, and then you daven.
What if you're in a train, is it considered stopping or going?
You know, I'm trying to remember what he said. The Mishnah Berurah made a comment about the Rechav Barzel, but I always assume that if you're in a train or in a plane, that you're considered stationary.
Even in a car.
Even in a car, correct.
But not on a donkey.
Well, the difference between a car and a donkey, the difference between a car and a train and a plane, you have no control of a train and a plane. Right? And I guess if you're a passenger in the car, it's something similar. It also happens to be in a train and a plane, you can stand up. It's actually a full makom that's moving. Right. A dalet amos that's moving, as opposed to a car, which is... marginally, possibly, but not. It certainly has no space to. You know, you got to. You know, if you take out the parts that are sealed, you don't have dalet amos or dalet amos. So, in fact, you probably don't in most cars anyway, because Dalai Lamas would be close to 7 feet. Most cars, I don't think, are 7 feet wide. They would be much roomier if they were. So the Gemara tells a story of Rav Chisda and Rav Sheshes were traveling, and come Rav Chisda become a tzali. Rav Chisda stopped to daven, to say, either to Asadarach, to Vilakitzar. Amar le Rav Sheshes l'shamei. Rav Sheshes said to his assistant, my car, Rav Chisda, what's he doing? Amar le, kayu mitzali. He stopped to daven. Amar le, ukma nami lididi batzali. I'm sorry, I should have said this before. Rav Sheshes was blind. The two prominent Amoraim who were blind were Rav Sheshes and Rav Yosef. So Rav Sheshes asked his assistant, what's Rav Chisda doing? He said, he's davening. He said, okay, fine. So, ukma nami, I don't know if they were, I'm not sure, like, he just meant, I'll stop too. Literally, ukma nami, ukma means stop me too, or have me stand still. I mean, he just stands still on his own. And I will pray. Mios tov al tikrei ra. So, you know, if it's easy to be good, then you shouldn't be bad. So what he was saying here is that, look, I hold meek, or then you don't have to stop. But of course it's better to stop in daven than it is to be davening when you're moving, right? It's obviously more appropriate for the tefillah. So once Rav Chisda is stopping, anyway, what's the point in my going on? So I'll wait for him. So that's what Rav Sheshes did. How do we pask? And so the Shulchan Aruch, the I think the Beis Yosef assumes, I don't know if he assumes or someone else says, that the Rif and the Rush both pask and like Rav Chisda, that you're supposed to stop. Because the Rif, if you look at the Rif for a second, and I think you're not going to be persuaded when you look at the Rif. I've got to figure out where the Rif is in your Gemara.
It's hard to say then that this is talking about Sakana. Can't stop in the middle of the
well, that was the point they made earlier, but that is where the Shulchan, that's what Tosa says.
Right.
But the Shulchan Aruch quotes it in that context. I mean, somebody explains in a related context that by Tefillah Kitzara, it's so short that you're stopping for, you know, less than 10 seconds. Mm-hmm. Whereas once you do Havinenu or Ful Shemoneh Esrei, then it's really a pause. So if you look on Chaf Amud Beis in the Rif, I don't know exactly where on Kaf Amud Beis, because I don't have the same pagination that you do. I have the reset. So, but it says it's on your Kaf Amud Beis. Do you see where it is, Josh?
I don't see exactly.
Well, let me look.
Maybe I can identify
for everybody. Oh, exactly. 1 second. So the second line in your printing, beginning with the word Ucharav Chisda. So the Rif says Ucharav Chisda de Amar. Mu'uma tzvei adif. It is better. It is more good. So, 1 second. Right, it's better to be like Rav Chisda. The Rav Sheshes nami kaim etzali tzvila sader. Because Rav Sheshes also stopped the daven. Now, if you read the Rif, and this is the conclusion ultimately of the Shulchan Aruch. It doesn't mean the Rif Paskin like Chisda. It's particularly odd because the Gemara later is going to say, depending on how you read it, if you go back to our Gemara in Laman Amin Aleph, go down about 20 lines where you see the two dots. The Hilchasa Havinenu Me'umad Tfila Ketzera Be'Me'umad Be'Mehalech. Right? Havinenu, you're supposed to stop. Tfila Ketzera, you can stop or you can go. That would seem to be like Rav Sheshes. Unless you say, which is not the way the Shulchan Aruch says, unless you say that this is talking about Tfilas HaDerech. But if you assume it's talking about Tfilas Kitzara, which I'm not 100% sure, if you say it's talking about Tfilas Kitzara, then it's certainly the Gemara later Paskins that you like Rav Sheshes. So it could be that it's not that way. It could be that you'll say that. Yeah. So firstly, it's Tosos who says that the Rif Paskin's like Rav Chisda, and the Beis Yosef says no, he doesn't pass like Rav Chisda. Everybody agrees it's better like Rav Chisda. Rav Sheshes stopped to do like Rav Chisda did, but really we Paskin like Rav Sheshes. That if need be, you can just daven it on the move.
Maybe if it's talking about the Derech Sakana, then actually Rav Chisda is the Mekel. because he's saying you're even allowed to stop and take your, you know, and put yourself in danger. So Fista really agrees with Rav Sheshet. Yeah. Rav Sheshet doesn't agree with Fista.
You know, maybe, you know, but you're assuming a holich b'malkum sakana means, it doesn't mean that the guys with their guns drawn and you're having to run. It means it's generally a dangerous place. So, because if the guys are chasing you with your guns drawn, you're not stopping at all. You're running. You're just running. Right? So this means I go in a place and I turn and I realize this is really spooky and dangerous, so let me daven. But when the ghosts are chasing me, I just gotta run. Okay. Now the Gemara asks, Now we're definitely, if this last part wasn't Tfilah Katsara, this is definitely Tfilah Katsara.
How do we talk to him? Talk to him like Rashi or like the Bahag for Ad Parsa?
Like the Bahag and like Rabbeinu Yonah.
So it needs to be
a Parsa left. We also say Lachatila, you should do it within the first part.
It has to be at least a Parsa journey and right.
Well, if it wasn't the Parsa journey, then you can't possibly have a Parsa left.
Right, but meaning you have to have a parcel.
All you have to say is, in order to say it's Sesterberg, you have to be traveling from where you're saying it, at least a parcel. One step will do the trick there.
You have to be within a parcel.
No, no. For the Bahag, even if you're going on a 50-mile journey,
right,
and you've gone 47 miles, you can still say it.
Right, but the journey has to be at least a parcel.
Right. Correct, but just say all you need is that as long as you have a parsa left in your journey, that could be the whole journey, or it could only be part of the journey, you say it, right? Because if the whole journey is less than a parsa, then by definition, at no point do you have a parsa left, even when you start.
You have to at least
a parsa left from when you're going to be signed to Yosadarach, and Lechatchila should be done within the first parsa, but if you didn't, as long as there's still a parsa left, you can do it. Now the Gemara asks, my ika bein havinenu, let's feel like it's Sarah. What, obviously, there are different nusach. But Tosus asks even a better question. Tosus says, well, what do you mean, what's the difference? Tfilah Katsara, you're only allowed to do b'makom sakana. Havinenu, you can do even shalom b'makom sakana. Like, if havinenu is if you're afraid that people are going to interrupt your tfilah. You know, you're davening in the airport, you're davening on the side of the road, you're afraid someone's going to interrupt you, so you do havinenu so you finish faster. So Tosfos is saying, no, within each tefillah, each one has its appropriate situation, each one has its appropriate text. Now that that's established, what's the difference if you daven one versus you daven the other? So the Gemara says that Havinenu boy litzluye gimel kamaisa v'gimel basraisa. Havinenu, you have to say the first avos kevuras kedushas Hashem, and then you have to say the three brachos at the end, avodah hodah that's not Berchas Kohanim. What do they call it? Shalom? It might be called, in some cases, Berchas. They call it Berchas Kohanim. And that's number one. Whereas Havinenu doesn't require that. And V'chimati Levesi Lebada Lebahada Letzaluye. But Havinenu, once you get home, since you did a proper Shmon Esrei, it was a bridge middle, but you had the full shape of the Shmon Esrei, you do not have to daven again. However, Tfilah Kitzara, Loboy Litzaluye, Logimo Kamaisa, Logimo Basaraisa, you don't need the first three, nor the last three. It's a funny formulation. You don't need not the first three, and not the last three. I would have just said you don't need any other brachos or something like that. I mean, it's inconceivable if you don't need the first three brachos, but you require the last three. It's a funny way of saying it. And when you get home, you have to daven, because you're not yotze yuchiv of formal tefillah with tefillah kitzara. V'hilchasan, the Gemara says, we paskin havinenu ma'uma tefillah kitzara bein ma'uma bein mahalach, which is another nafkamina, which is havinenu, you have to stop to daven. Tfilah Katsara, you can do whether on the move or even you stop is probably better, but nonetheless, you don't have to stop. Okay. So now the Gemara turns to our riding and transportation. So the Mishnah had said, Hayaroche Balachamor. Yered v'yispala, v'im eno yocho levered yasir espanav. So if you're riding on a donkey, you should get off the donkey to daven. If you can't, get off the donkey to daven, maybe because you're afraid the donkey will run away. So then you should turn your face towards Yerushalayim directionally when you daven. I mean, literally, it doesn't say that. It says that you should turn your head. Not clear what that means. Yachser is punav, unless it means, you know, Rashi writes the tzad Yerushalayim because that's what the Gemara assumes. If you can't, then you should, in your heart, you should direct your thoughts towards Jerusalem. So now the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, Haya Roche Valach Amor, V'higiyaz Man Tfila. Im Yeshlo Misha Yochez Es Hamoro Yerid Lamata B'Yispalo, Vim Lav Yeshim Mimkom B'Yispalo. That is probably the interpretation of the Mishnah. When the Mishnah says, in Yochar L'Yispalo, what do you mean? Of course you can get off your donkey, but if you can get on the donkey, you can get off the donkey. Why can't you do that? The answer depends whether you're summoned to watch your donkey while you're doing it. Rebbe Omer Benkach U'Benkach Yeshiv B'Mkom V'Yispalo Lofi Shein Dato Me'Yushav Asalav. It's better to, either way, to remain seated on your donkey because you're going to be too fatumult. Rashi writes, Shekasha Lavik V'Aderach, because if you get off your donkey, that makes the project a longer project, and you're worried about, you know, taking too long on the journey. I mean, guess the longer you're there, the more potential for a mishap. Amar Rava Vitema Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Halacha Karebi. That's how we paskin, that either way you don't have to get off the donkey. Now, the Gemara is going to turn its attention, no pun intended, to the direction in which one faces. Now, what's interesting is that the Gemara here makes no mention of a sugya in Bava Basra. The sugya in Bava Basra, towards the end of the second para, has a very long discussion about what direction you daven in. And almost all the opinions in the Gemara do not daven, it's quoted at the end, sort of the opinion that's really found in our Gemara, but almost all the opinions are focused on where is the Shechina. And it's not tied to the Mikdash. Some say the Shechina is the Marav. The Shechina is always in the west, so you always face west to daven. So I would say, I think maybe after some says Shechina b'Mizrach. There's a Shita that says, I think the Shechina is everywhere. It's like the Uncle Moshe song, right? God is here, God is there, God is everywhere, something like that. I don't know. But so basically, he wouldn't care which direction he davened in. Tosus here happens to point out that it is not, that this is against the Tosus Dibramasla Talpios. We haven't read the Gemara on that. He says, Uchahach Shmaitz Akaimelim, which we face towards the Beis HaMikdash, whichever direction that is for us. The Chain Maskinam Balo Yachbar. That is the maskan of the Gemara Baba Basra. The Ka'amar Atun de Kayam Nisun, the Tzvon of Eretz Yisrael Adrimu, you who stand to the north of Eretz Yisrael should face south. V'lo Kahani Amorai Dila'el, not Amorai here, Amorai in that Gemara. The Pligi Ihashchina B'Mizrach O B'Marav. Whether the Shechina is in the east always, in the west always, and therefore Tosa says, Achshav Anu, probably should be the Achshav. What's the Samach? What's the correction? Yes, the Achshav Anu B'Marav Ashel Eretz Yisrael Akein Anu Ponu L'Mizrach. We face east. Now the truth is, I'm not sure it made sense from
the
why? What's that?
Goes around the other way.
No. The shortest distance between two points is just. Yes. So I don't know whether Tosus. I don't. Chazal generally did not assume a sphere. That is true. But I would argue that even if you did, you would assume that you should face in the shortest distance. Right? The whole point is that you're directing your thoughts to God. So David, I'm giving you a share now.
If
we go around the earth, then we'll get back here.
But if you live in, I don't know where they allow Jews. If you live in UAE, or you live in you face west. Is that right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. So no question about it. Is that we face towards Yerushalayim, and that depends on what
way.
In the shortest way. Yes, in the shortest way. Because the Gemara. Yes, I mean the Gemara. You're right. The Gemara could be read as not recognizing a spherical Earth. So the Gemara says, if you're north, you face south. You're south, you face north, etc. But I think we assume it's the shortest distance. So the question you really have to ask is. The shortest distance, you know, the way planes fly to Israel,
right.
You fly along the meridian, I think, because it's right. Shorter. I know it's true. I just can't envision why it's true, but I know that it sort of makes sense. So the question is, I don't think we think shortest way that way. I think directionally. So I think the direction you should, the way to determine the true correct direction, is to take a globe, take a string, in the straightest line, I guess. Although I'm not sure how it's going to work out. Well, that's the problem. So I think generally we eyeball and we face east. You know, there was this question. Some of you, David, you may remember this in the YU based medrash. What's now called the old main based medrash, people used to face in all sorts of different directions. Because Rav David Lishitz, Zechon al Bracha, he did have a wall that was angled at the front, but he used to face the base medrash. The old base medrash from YU is on the northern side. I mean, northern technically, Manhattan leans a little this way, so it was north slightly east. And if you, and the way Rav David was facing, and that the corner wall was like, it wasn't a corner, it was like a, it came like this. And he would kind of face that. That's where his shtender was. So that was actually closer to east. And you go into the base medrash, and you'd have people facing in a gamut from straight towards the Aron to all the way facing towards the doors. It was a little disconcerting. But somebody cleverly once said, well, you know, but the shortest distance to Yerushalayim, the way the planes would fly, actually would head sort of north, east on the meridian, so maybe you should do that. What is clear to me is that everybody should be davening in the same direction, whatever direction it is. It's machlokas haposkim, what to do when the Aron Kodesh is that way, and Mizrach, you know, Mizrach, in quotes, whatever your Mizrach is the other way. But I imagine everybody in KJ faces the Aron Kodesh. So, and that's facing north.
Yeah.
So, it is what it is.
Don't become an astronaut.
What's that?
Don't become an astronaut.
That isn't the least of your problems. Shachos Nechamar, so that's the bigger problem. You're always davening. Yes. Which is, by the way, it's a problem. It's also a problem when you're like near the North Pole. So what happens if you were on the North Pole? So the answer is from Jew doesn't belong on the North Pole. That's the answer. Okay. Anyway, so the Gemara here just says, Tan Rabbanan Suma Mishe Neochal Chavin Esarucha Sichavin Libo Keneged Av Sheba Shemaim Shenemar Vehispalalu El Hashem. This is all from Tfilah Shlomo, by the way. Well, that means they're davening alone. If the Summa has someone who can point them, he's Yachal Chavin Esaruchas. Then, and all this, the idea facing towards Yerushalayim, by the way, is based on Tfilah Shlomo. His idea that when they inaugurated the Beis HaMikdash, and he gave this very long prayer in Malachim Ches, is he was saying that, you know, people will pray, V'spalalu derech habayis hazeh asher banisi. They should pray towards this house. That's their pathway to heaven. So the Braisa says that but the Rishonim say not just Keneged Eretz Yisrael, but Keneged Yerushalayim. Because the truth is, if you were standing in, in Jordan, you could face Israel as soon as you're facing western direction, but you should face angled towards Yerushalayim. At a certain point, it barely differs, but if you're close by, it really does matter. Shenemar, this palalu elav elecha derech artzam. Hayomei beretz Yisrael yachavin eslibo kinei Yerushalayim. Shenemar v'spalalu al Hashem derech ha'ir asher b'charta. Hayomei b'Yerushalayim yachavin eslibo kineged beis hamikdash. Shenemar v'spalalu el abayis hazeh. Hayomei b'beis hamikdash. I didn't translate all these. It's bringing in the circles all the way inward. If you're standing in the beis hamikdash, yachavin eslibo kineged beis kadshei kadashim. Shenemar v'spalalu el hamakom hazeh. If you're in the Mikdash, face the Kodesh HaKadashim. Now, the next line does not exist in the Ram and the Rif. It's a very strange line. If you're in the Kodesh HaKadashim, you should face towards the Kaporis. Very true, but who is ever in the Kodesh HaKadashim? The Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. It's a very, very odd thing. And the only other people who ever entered the Kodesh HaKadashim were the workers who were lowered in boxes, but presumably were not davening at that time. They were just doing their fix, and they were getting out. Then, if you're standing behind the Kodesh HaKadashim, it's in the Azara, outside of the Heichal, so then, which the Rishonim say means face east. And most people in the Mikdash are going to be facing west because in the Azara, because the Kodesh HaKadashim was almost at the way end of the western part of the Azara. But if you're behind that, in that space between the outer, the walls of the Azara and the back of the Heichal, that open space, so then you would face east. Okay. Nimtza omei b'mizrach ma'asir pan al-amarif. One who's standing in the east faces west. B'marib ma'asir pan of l'mizrach. This one then in the west faces east. B'dorom ma'asir pan of l'tzafon. B'tzafon ma'asir pan of l'dorom. Nimtza'u kol Yisrael mechavnin es liban l'makom echad. All the Jewish people are facing the same place. Amar Rabbi Abin, the Itaim Rabbi Avina, Mikra, what's the verse that suggests that? Ki Migdal David Tzavarech, Banui L'Talpios, from Shir Shirim, like the Tower of David is your neck, built L'Talpios. Why is it called Talpios? Tel Shekol Pios Ponimbo, the mound which all the mouths are turned to. When people are engaged in prayer, they're all facing the same tel, which is the Harabais, which is the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, and that's how we baskin, that we face towards Yerushalayim. We don't face towards the putative location of the Shekhinah, which would be in the east or the west. We may be assumed that the Shekhinah is in the Mikdash, or that's the place that we relate to it, and therefore that is the direction we face.
Sorry, the first time we have any evidence of davening is when? I mean, if we say tefillos kenegas, korbanos tikkunim.
I mean, Shlomo HaMelech speaks about people praying. But you have tzaaka everywhere, right? Tzaaka. Oh, the Shmona Esrei.
Yeah.
That's Yavne. That was instituted, according to the Gemara, was instituted in Yavne.
So there was no Beis
HaMikdash. Oh, you mean at the time they instituted the
so
Shmona
Esrei? How would you be in Kodesh HaKadosh and in Yavne?
Well, no. There was Tefillah before. Before the Chorban.
In the future.
But no, before the Chorban, there was prayer. Shlomo was talking about people praying when the Beis HaMikdash was standing. So there was prayer. It may not have been the formal Yurchas Brachas. It may have been once a day. Right? It might have been, or might have been spontaneous as the Ramban, whichever way you would like it. So at that time, people would direct the prayer. And if they couldn't come to the Beis HaMikdash to bring a Chorban to worship, to pray in it, they would pray towards it. What's that? We don't know which way she was facing. Right. That was previous. That was Mishkan Shila. But yes. Okay.
Is that a source for everybody in the shul should daven in the same direction also?
I mean, I thought you don't even need that. I thought the Seichel Hayosher dictates such. It looks, we're machbid, about, we learned the Gemara earlier about somebody turning his back to the Beis HaKnesses when he davens. And part of the issue is the concern of Mechzei Kishtei Rishir. So it looks like they're praying to different gods. So you walk into a place where people are facing different directions, and again, either everybody, it makes sense to me, whatever the correct direction is, everybody faces the same orientation. Or if you're dealing with like a theater type, everybody's sort of facing towards one point. But the idea that people, that you have the Aron Kodesh in one place, and some people are davening this way, and some people are davening that way, and some people are davening that way, strikes me as pretty absurd. Yes. Okay. So...